My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, all. Welcome to the Formula One podcast here at the Eastern Daily Press, where we bring you a double header. We're going to look back to USA and ahead to the season finale in Brazil. Two tracks that are pretty much well loved. The only thing we should say is maybe that Sunday's race wasn't quite what we'd hoped for. Let's talk about that now with my two guests today, Perry Hamilton.
Hello.
And Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
Hello there, gents. Nice of you to come in. Good to see you. Did we enjoy the race on Sunday? It's always so exciting being in America in Austin and
yeah, I enjoyed stuff. There were parts of it I enjoyed, but overall it wasn't the thriller that we had last year. We're now in that awkward position of wondering, is this the standard Austin race or is this the anomaly? And unfortunately, we're not going to find out for another year or two until we actually get sort of an overall view of it. But the race wasn't horrific. I mean, it was no Valencia. Let's put that out there nice and early. But still, it wasn't a classic.
No, I still think the track's grand, though.
Yeah, I think you can't blame the track. Blame Red Bull.
there we go.
Blame Red Bull and Vettel. Yeah, I mean, it's just the same race we've had the last eight races.
Eight wins on the trot. No one else has won a Formula One race since July, I think, certainly since August. Lewis Hamilton was the last person other than Seb to win a race. It's a record. Even Michael Schumacher didn't manage that in a season.
That's quite scary, really. It's and you can't see it changing. I mean, the conditions are dry this weekend. Already in the preview. If the conditions are the same dry this weekend, you can't see any difference. So, but we hope.
I hope for a wet race. Yeah. We haven't had one all season, pretty much.
Really?
That's what I heard. Yeah, there hasn't been a wet race this year. Can you think of one?
I'm fairly certain they have gone on to Inters.
Yes,
at some point,
certainly
but it's not
in qualifying,
full wet race.
But I'm not sure about race. Maybe there hasn't been a full wet race.
No, I'm desperate.
Probably should have researched that one. If anyone knows if there has actually been a wet race this year, let us know. There certainly hasn't been many, anyway. Sebastian Vettel, then, he's brilliant at everything other than radio messages. I think he underlined all that for the weekend.
What was that? I mean, what was that about? And do you want to know the thing that annoyed me the most about it? It instantly sparked some kind of controversy of him saying, we need to remember these days, boys, because they won't last forever. And instantly, all of the, if you'll excuse the generalization here, Michael, all the sports journalists and all of the motorsports journalists jumped on that and went, oh, he's being prophetic and saying he's going to leave and saying he's going, of course he's going to leave. Right? Eventually, when you have prolonged success anywhere, you're going to get bored and you're going to leave. You're going to try your field elsewhere. That's what happens. That's just what it is. But it's almost like, and I know this probably isn't the case, but it's almost like he felt the spotlight was being pulled away from him because of all the driver changes that had happened and everyone was getting a bit bored and everyone thought that it was, oh, it's just Seb now and the championships can, you know, done with and everything. And we've got to look at second places and that's where the excitement is. And I think Seb just thought, you know what? I'm going to get people talking about me again. And I think he just threw that message out there. It just rattled me.
That's true. That's
it just
wonderful.
Rattled me. I don't know whether it's a conscious decision or not. I don't know. And it just made me chuckle. Like, I mean, I believe it was the last podcast. Kyle, you were talking, our last review podcast. Kyle, you were talking about how he said he wasn't that bothered about records.
Yeah.
And I think this absolutely just shoots that out of the water. It's absolute rubbish.
It is rubbish. Absolutely. Good old Seb. Yeah, he's not the best at radio messages. I wonder where this car and driver combination will sit in history. Sebastian Vettel and the RB9. I mean, we're talking about domination on a level of what Schumacher managed at Ferrari after a few years of, you know, working towards it. I can see this being a reference point for decades.
Yeah, I think it'll go down with the Schumacher Ferraris, the Prost and Senna. McLaren's. I think we'll look back on that.
The Mansell Williams.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Lovely.
Apologies, yeah, got that one. I think it will go down. Unless somebody in the next few years has the same domination, which I can't see. can be talked about in the Adrian Newey, Sebastian Vettel era, which will hopefully won't last that long.
Yeah, let's talk about it in the past tense soon, hopefully. It'll be fascinating, as we've said for a while, what happens in the winter and when we get to the 2014 cars and engines and all that gubbins. Shall we have a look across some EDP F1 pit stops? Still missing DT this week, but always good to hear his impression of a pit stop. Let's stop off, shall we, at Williams, where firstly they introduced a new camera on the front of the Williams, which...
That was fantastic.
Was fantastic, although it immediately confused me, as I said at the time, I believe, because it initially looked like suddenly the car was turning far too closely to the apex. It was going to miss the corner. And then, of course, it was actually the camera focusing backwards rather than the actual turning of the car. It's not the easiest thing to read. But still, great view.
Yeah.
We like that?
Yeah. Brilliant.
What wasn't so great was Pastor Maldonado, who is, we now know, not going to be driving at Williams next year. Felipe Massa stepping into his seat. He believed that the team was sabotaging his tyre pressures so that he would be rubbish in qualifying. And he blamed the team for it. That never goes well, does it?
When I think it's disgraceful.
I'm glad you could come up with a word for it, Carl, because I'm pretty sure what I would say about him is not publishable on the EDP 24.co.uk website.
We've got the beep button. We've used it before.
We have. I feel that my beep count is too damn high. I feel that there's too much beeping for me, so I'm going to just step away from it. But yeah, I completely agree with Carl. It's unacceptable. And especially, I will weigh in a little bit, actually. Especially when you're levying this accusation at a team like Williams, who have been around in this sport for so long. I mean, was it in your column, I think you mentioned 600 races this season?
It is, celebrating. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic achievement. I think what? Who else can say that? Maybe Ferrari? That's currently still racing. I mean, McLaren, can they say that?
I think so.
And Mercedes might be able to say it at some point. They've got a great storied legacy. But they had a massive break. Yeah, they were engine suppliers. But Williams has been the foundation of British Formula One for many a year. It's so integral to the sport that to try and slander it with such cheap accusations, it just was infuriating.
The interesting point for me is, who's now going to take him on? You don't want it souring like this, do you?
I mean, obviously, you know, the money helps, but if he's going to show that sort of attitude towards the team, then, you know, giving him a chance in F1.
More of a chance than he should have had, personally.
I hope he's not on the grid next year. I hope it all falls apart for him. Yeah. I'm sorry, but yeah.
I love it. Well, that is...
No, Kyle. No, tell them.
It's very unlikely he'll be on the grid next year, I would say.
Well, if you listen to him, he was confident, wasn't he? He was saying, do you know what... And they said to him, do you know where you're going to be next year? And he went, I know. And they went, oh, where's that? And then suddenly he said, I've got one or two options. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, okay. Marussia or Caterham will jump on him. I'm fairly certain they will. I believe we were having the conversation on Sunday that we don't think Charles Peake is going to be around next year. Never quite made it to that Ferrari seat that DT once tipped him for, I think. But, I mean, they might take him on because he's a race winner. You can't take that away from him. But
that's the thing that annoys me as well. He walks around thinking he's Fernando Alonso or Vettel, and he's won one race. But after that, he was dreadful.
Yeah.
He won a good race last year.
He has only shown it in one.
If you want to see an example of a racing driver who has not won very many races but still carries himself like a decent race winner, we look no further than the returning might of Heikki Kovalainen.
Yes. Well, we will get on to that. I did just want to...
Is that a pit stop too far?
It's just further down. An illegal...
Unsafe release.
We're just not there yet. Right. I did just want to mention Felipe Massa because it broke, obviously, since we've podded last. Great. I suppose maybe not a surprise that there'll be a Brazilian in Formula One next year because I think Bernie quite likes that. Obviously keeps the race. It helps with the Brazilian Grand Prix as well. It seems probably quite a canny move by Williams to have Felipe in. I mean, he's shown bursts, I suppose, of the old him, and he's going to help drastically with the development of that car, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think if he helps with the development of the car and helps Bottas as well, then it's a good move for Williams. Like I said, he's come from a good team, a quick team for a while. Comparing him to Williams.
Yeah.
So he can, yeah, I think he can help that. And if Rob Smedley joins him as well, yeah, I think it could work out. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, really. I think he's quite lucky in a way to still be on the grid. Yeah, we'll see. It might be a good move for Williams.
I didn't expect to see him on the grid next year, I must admit. But yeah, Rob Smedley and maybe Ross Brawn, all at Williams. Off you go. Turn it around. I'm seriously starting a campaign for that. I think it needs to happen if he does leave Mercedes, which seems to be on the cards. Mercedes, I've done a magnificent accidental segue there. I did want to talk about Mercedes now. Nico Rosberg had a terrible weekend, really, sort of scrapping around. Yet, whilst Lewis Hamilton was all happy and did a very good job, I think, finishing fourth, what on earth was that helmet all about? The Michael Jackson helmet.
I thought it was quite...
No.
I thought it was all right.
Why was he even wearing a Michael Jackson helmet?
Because he quite likes Michael Jackson.
Well,
it's a bit different.
So? I don't.
I mean,
it was very, very well designed.
It's Michael Jackson. The king of pop. He made Thriller.
I just can't be...
Thriller. Like, Michael.
You can have James Hunt on your helmet if you want, but Michael Jackson, I mean, I just don't.
Why can't they pay homage to your heroes? Why not?
Only if he likes eating Nando's, is he going to rock up with Nando's?
Well, that's sponsorship. That's a whole different.
Well, I'm sure Michael Jackson might well sell a few more albums now he's been on the side of Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton is the man who made a difference in selling Michael Jackson's albums, not Michael Jackson's incredible legacy of genre-altering popular music.
As the principle of the thing.
Okay. Michael didn't like Lewis's helmet. That's what we're taking away from that.
Did you like Grosjean's helmet? I can't remember who it was. He had a special helmet this weekend.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, God, that passed me by.
So did Sergio. Checo.
Well, they
Checo
all
had
do
a special
it,
helmet, didn't he?
And Guido van Gaal is random.
I don't think we saw him, did we? I don't think he even got airtime.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't see a helmet for van Gaal.
Well, fair enough. I mean, at least there weren't any LEDs.
Oh, don't. That's still the worst helmet ever.
In Lewis's or
absolutely
anyone else's
ever.
Helmet. Very nice. Oh, and it's a Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Let me see.
Yeah. For Romain Grosjean.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool, man.
Yeah. Why? That would be my only question.
Bullet. He's a fast driver. You know? He's cool. Steve McQueen is cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look at that rubbish.
Themed helmets.
Who did Guido have?
Vettel in Austin.
No, just random.
Only Guido just had a random one. Well, that's cool. I like random designs. It's just the whole icons on the...
How do you know it's Van der Gaal's?
Helmets.
Or do you recognise that as being his from the race?
MCG McGregor thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, bottom line of this is, pick a helmet design, people, and stick with it. All right?
Like Angry Birds, I could deal with that. That
mind,
was brilliant.
I don't mind. Okay, the top of Lewis Hamilton's Michael Jackson helmet is pretty shocking.
what is it? Just describe it.
As Kyle has just brought up an image of it. On his tablet.
I mean,
PC.
Look at that, for goodness
the
sake.
The top of it's pretty shocking, but the sides and the rest of it are pretty good. And I do like the colour combination, I can't lie. I think it's done well.
Abomination. But then, I mean, when Sebastian Vettel's got fake wood effect, as if his helmet is made out of plank wood.
Do you want to know, the only, in my opinion, ceremonial or special edition helmet that ever should have been allowed on the grid was Gerhard Berger's. Can you tell me what Gerhard, without looking up, can you tell me what Gerhard Berger's special edition helmet was?
I have no idea.
Kyle looks like he might be able to say it.
I just remember his normal helmet was quite boring.
yeah, it was just stripes.
But I can't know.
No, it was flags. It was flags of countries just overlaid on top of each other. And it looked fantastic.
There we go.
It looked absolutely brilliant. And this was back in the day when drivers had one helmet that they would use on a commemorative race every now and then. And I think that's all that should be allowed.
I absolutely agree. But then this all started when Lewis and Nico Rosberg basically had the same helmet this year. Stupid idea. Both running around in yellow helmets. I know they're slightly different tints.
You can't,
change it.
No, you do change it. you change it if you're going to spend a season in the same coloured helmet as.
Well,
anyway,
he made it sort of golder.
Yeah, no, it got better. It did get better. Michael Jackson.
I'm not sure gold is a word. I'm sorry, Kyle. I don't want to step in there, but I genuinely don't think golder is a word that you can use.
It's a golderism. Okay, well, Mercedes will still want to do better, I'm sure, although they are now second in the Constructors' Championship, and they have a little bit of a lead over Ferrari going into the final race.
Whole 15 points.
Could be enough.
Yeah.
Could be enough at this point. It's quite difficult to close those gaps. Lotus, Hethel-backed, just about. Will they be quantum racing-backed, I suppose, is a big question. That seems to be what will decide whether Nico Hülkenberg ends up there next year. It'll be sorted out this week, says Eric Boullier, which he said last week and the week before and the week before that. And I think he's been saying that for as long as Sebastian Vettel has been winning consecutive races. Good to see Heikki back, though.
Wonderful to see Heikki back. I think I was on a Twitter campaign over the course of qualifying and the, well, not so much the race, because I was...
The race was shocking. The race was shocking. Say. He didn't have the best race.
Come on, it was all his fault, the race.
He had a knock, didn't he? He had to get a new front wing, and that was that, basically.
Sure, Kerr's problem.
Still, you know, okay, no points. But great qualifying. And, you know, and the guy gets thrown in fairly long at the deep end. Felt a little bad for Valsecchi. Did feel a little bad for him on that, but at the same time, obviously, I think we watched the race together, you and I, Mike. But I think I said to you at the time, I actually think it's a very smart move by Lotus to go with Heikki for the last two races of the season, because if Valsecchi's not ready, there's no point in putting him out there and getting him blooded with two races to go. It doesn't make sense because they're going to face a load of criticism. There are drivers on the grid still available without drives, like Checo, people like that, like Maldonado. Oh, God, you couldn't put Maldonado and Grosjean on the same team, could you? That would be ridiculous.
Oh, you could now. I'm not having this anymore. Oh, I'm not having this anymore with Grosjean.
But anyway, I feel my point stands. Hey, he's a stopgap. He's a plaster. He's just a bandage to put on the wound at the moment. He's not the future of that team, and I don't think he's the future spot. And I think he knows that. I think he's just going to go out there and have just loads of fun. And I think that's good for Heikki, because it shows, actually, you know what, these backmarket teams, Caterham, got rid of him, made the wrong choice.
Quite easily be his last races in Formula One, I think. If he can't do much in Brazil in the actual race, it'd be difficult for him to persuade a team that, give me a salary, I haven't got any money behind me, and I'll drive your team to success. If he does something special in Brazil, it's maybe a different story, but a lot riding on it. Eric Boullier, anyway, is quite happy that he will see a bit more from Heikki once he's got some of the rust off. It's an interesting one with reserve drivers. I think they're a reserve if something goes wrong in the weekend itself. But if a team has preparation and they've got things to fight for, they will get a proper driver.
Well, you say Kovalainen was technically a reserve.
Well, experienced driver. Yeah,
yeah. You could say Kovalainen was a reserve driver, but for a different team.
Yeah.
He still ended up.
Yeah, spot on. I think it's Davide Valsecchi. He's a lovely bloke. I've met him a few times. He's really nice. Apparently he punches his engineers all the time out of, you know, being friendly and funny. Oh, okay. But it does actually apparently hurt.
He's one of these guys who doesn't forceful realize punch. How hard he punches. Yeah.
I think he's got quite a firm handshake as well by memory. Anyway, Checo, you mentioned him. Sergio Perez out of McLaren for Kevin Magnussen. I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah.
Seems like a bold move, Kyle. Where's that all come from?
I think it's a bit harsh on Perez. But it's been said for a long time that it's Magnussen kid. He's got a fair amount of talent. I sort of read that, you know, they've looked at his simulator stuff and it's a bit harsh. It's just on a simulator, yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do, but they said he's quicker than Perez in that way. I mean, he's done a few tests and so they can see that. So why not? You know, he's not bringing any money. It's based on pure talent and we've known about all these paid drivers that come in. So yeah, if they think he's quicker than Perez, why not chuck him in? A Dane on the grid, you know, a new nationality.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, give it a go, yeah.
Good points, I like that. What do you reckon, Ped?
I'd have chucked him in straight away. I'd have had him in the car by now. You're done with Checo. Show him the door. I think it's just, I mean, and because you need to know if this guy can go, you need to know what he needs to improve on over the summer. Yeah, okay, he's great in a simulator. Yeah, okay, he's great in testing. That's not racing in anger. I don't mean anger, obviously, but that's not going out there, sitting there, watching those five lights go on, watching those lights go out, having Alonso come screaming up the inside of you, almost rear-ending Mark Webber because he's not going to be able to pull away at any speed, although hopefully rolling starts in Porsche next year, as we've already mentioned. but, you know, there's so many nuances that, you know, Sergio Perez has had a good few years of that now, and you're not going to be able to just replace that with he's good on a simulator. So I think get him these two, like we said with Heikki, but sort of in a reverse way. Get him these two races, get him involved, find out what he can and can't do. He can come back to you and go, God, that was terrifying, or I love this, but I missed that bit. You then know what to work on over the off-season. And I think they've really missed a trick by this. Unless there's some kind of contractual thing that they got. But I mean, they can always buy Checo out. There's always ways for you to get this guy in the car. You've already committed your future to him. Find out what he can do. And then see if that's going to be the best for you over the future of your team. But I don't think that they've done themselves any favour. And also the other thing, Martin Whitmarsh saying that he's going to help Sergio Perez try and find another drive next season. Aside from the fact that most driver places that Sergio Perez would want to race for will be set, the key question here is, and I do believe a member of the broadcasting team for, I think it was Sky, raised this issue, was quite simply, what's Martin Whitmarsh going to say when a team boss says to him, well, if you don't want him, why should I have him? Mm. What is it about him that you think I should have him but you shouldn't? That doesn't make sense to me. That's not going to work. It's an empty gesture.
That's a fair point. I mean, I suppose he was Martin Whitmarsh's man, wasn't he? So he probably feels partially responsible.
Yeah, a year ago he's saying, you know, he's only 22, he's, you know, he's got this experience, the same age as when Hamilton came in, and he's, you know, a work in progress, and we're going to teach him the McLaren way and stuff. And then a year later, actually,
yeah. See you later. Yeah. You mentioned Lewis. Is it a bit of a lazy comparison to suggest that, you know, Kevin coming in, let's say, up through the McLaren Academy kind of setup, all he's ever known almost, and, you know, bright new thing and very excited and all this sort of stuff?
Yeah, I suppose it will be compared to Hamilton next year, which is a bit unfair because Hamilton done a lot of testing, a lot more testing before Hamilton came in. So, but yeah, I mean, it's natural to compare into it. And it worked for McLaren then, so they can say, well, it might work for us again. So, but yeah, I think it would be hard to compare it to Hamilton, especially in the first year. But yeah, we'll see. I think it's a good move.
All right, we will see. We will see indeed. You'll need a decent car. That's one point, I suppose. Did the final pit stop, Caterham, we should stop off at the Hingham's finest because we just want to check that they still exist. I think they were in the race.
Still exist, still poor.
Still 11th, with one race to go. You have one race, Caterham, one race. Okay, of the weekend debates, gentlemen, driver and goat of the USA Grand Prix weekend. Who wants to open the bidding?
I can go. I can do it. So, driver, a lot of good options for this. Mm-hmm. Roman drove a fantastic race.
He did.
Yeah. Lewis drove a great race. I think he did really well, despite what was on his lid. I'm going to go a little bit outside the box here. I'm going to go Valtteri Bottas was going to be driver of the week for me. Dog of a car. We know it's a dog of a car, even when it's got, you know, depleted tyre pressure. But I think he drove fantastically. He made some great moves as well. Really, really good.
The one on Gutierrez was fantastic.
Which I think could well be the highlight of the weekend as well.
Probably, in there early.
But I think he did great. He showed maturity that we've not seen out of him a lot this season. But in my opinion, if I was to look back over the whole of the Grand Prix calendar that we've watched so far, he's been the better driver for Williams. And I don't think you can really dispute that. Because although he may not have, I don't know what the actual stats are behind it, but he just appears to have been a bit more mature, a bit more in control, a bit more confident, and just a bit more consistent. And I think going forward, I think he'll make a great teammate for Massa. And I think he can learn a lot from Massa. And I think you'll see a big uptick in Bottas' performance next season when Massa comes in, because at the moment, he hasn't really got any veteran leadership to pull on as a driver. And I think Massa will really help him.
Bottas hadn't raced in GP2, I think, am I? I think he came straight through from Formula 3.5, Formula Renault.
I think he won the GP3 championship.
That's right, yeah.
And then, yeah.
And then he missed out GP2, didn't he?
But, yeah, he'd be my driver of the weekend as well.
Yeah, I had him down as well. So
excellent. You know, not to take away from people like Nico Hülkenberg.
Oh, no, it's all relative.
Fantastic race. But I think for what it was, for what was needed, Bottas.
Well, his first points in Formula 1, and when you look at it now over the course of the season, there's barely been anything between him and Maldonado, or race winner Pastor Maldonado, as he probably calls himself. And compared to someone who's in their first season.
Yeah. And also, he made him look like an idiot this weekend. He's getting so much more out of the car than Maldonado did. So.
Well, they weren't sabotaging his tyres. That was the problem. Okay, then. GOAT, then, of the weekend.
GOAT of the weekend was pointed out I believe, now it was, you'll have to help me out here, Michael, because it was either yourself or my good friend Adam when we were watching the race. Now, I know Michael's probably going to go from Lewis Hamilton's Michael Jackson helmet as GOAT of the weekend. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I've got that out of my system.
You've got that out of my system. Okay,
not well, that I'm happy with
for
it.
Me, nothing to do with the race, but we saw a shot of British racing legend Nigel Mansell on the grid just before. And was it yourself or was it Adam?
It was Adam.
Adam made this wonderful reference, and he said, of all the people you would expect to be doing Movember, and there's Nigel Mansell on the grid in Austin, top lip completely clean shaven. What's happened, Nigel? Where's the Mansell we
He's
know?
He's fallen out of love with the Mo.
Well, no. I mean, this man is a crowning achievement of British mustachioed magnificence.
Wonderful.
And he's there.
What a sentence.
I feel he's let us down as an ambassador for both facial hair and the country. I feel Nigel Mansell has let us down. So for me, hairless goat of the weekend, Nigel Mansell.
I didn't have that one written down myself, but I love it. Shocker. I love it all the same. What do you reckon, Carl?
I think Maldonado's the obvious one. But there's another one. I'll probably give Massa.
Oh.
Anyway, I thought quite
he did,
a poor weekend.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Well, he's got his seat now.
Yeah, I suppose.
Doesn't need to try.
Classic. I've mentioned Adrian Sutil here. He had a pretty shocking qualifying, and this time didn't turn it around in the race. Admittedly, well, not particularly helped by Maldonado, so.
That was a strange crash, that wasn't it?
Wasn't it? It just seemed to be two egos crashing, basically, and one ended his race and the other one poodled around for a little bit longer. All right, team of the weekend. It's a bit of an awkward one. I'm going to open the bidding with Williams for the fact that they did kind of keep it all together when one of their drivers was accusing them of screwing everything up and did produce a pretty good result at the end of it. But I'm open to better suggestions.
I think that's a great suggestion. And I think the only one that I could maybe suggest instead would be Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
Short notice, replaced a fin with a fin, and had great qualifying, but obviously Heikki's clip and wing change sort of shot him in the foot a little bit. But, Grosjean, fantastic drive. They're really getting the best out of that car now. They really, really are. And, and he showed maturity as well, but I think it was really well managed all round. And to be able to just plop a guy in to a car, and he hasn't driven a race this season, and to get that kind of performance out of him, I know he didn't finish in the points, but I think Lotus had a really, really good weekend.
I would be quite interested to see what the standings are like for just the second half of the season, actually, because I would imagine Lotus are pretty close to McLaren and Ferrari. And I would also imagine that Grosjean would be a lot higher than where he is in the championship now if it was done over half a season. That's one for me to note down. I'll see if I can do that. Brilliant. What do you reckon?
Oh, Carl?
That's all right. Unless you disagree or you can just agree, it's fine.
I'm going to go Sauber. It didn't quite work out for Gutierrez in the race. But, I think they've improved the car since the summer break. And it's a quick car now, that Sauber. It's sort of competing with Ferrari. Mercedes, in a way, in race pace. So, yeah, I'll give it to Sauber.
Yeah, they sort of returned to where they were last year, haven't they, now, whereas they had a pretty shocking start to the season. Brilliant. Finally, a highlight. As you mentioned, Ben Bottas's take on Gutierrez was very good, alongside Hülkenberg's battle with Alonso at the end, which was quite entertaining too, I thought.
Yeah, I think mine is, even though I'm a Hamilton fan, I think Webber's overtake around the outside of Hamilton, I thought it was quite cool.
Yes.
Especially because Webber possibly isn't the best at overtaking. Hasn't got that, reputation, I should say, is best overtaking. I'll give it to him. And also, I think the next slight one was Heikki's race engineer calling him Kimmy.
Oh, yes, now I missed it.
That was awesome.
I heard it, That's a very good call. I like that. I like that too. I did like Webber's comments about Roman Grosjean after the race. That was like the complete rehabilitation. Apparently they get on really well, those two now, since Webber stormed into Grosjean's room after Japan last year and laid into him entirely, which is nice. I like that. I like those little stories. How about you, Ped? Highlight?
That's what I said to you earlier.
You did, that's true. All right, then. Well, I think we're going to...
It would have been Mansell's glorious moustache, it was not there.
Missed opportunity. Yes. The moustache that was never there. Right then, let's draw a line under the US of A for another year, and there will probably only be one race in future years, given New Jersey is non-Jersey.
Pipe dreams. Pipe dreams. Pipe dreams up on there on the East Coast.
Let's bring on Brazil.
Can we play some carnival music there? Play some salsa music or something.
Just do some now. Go on.
I can't think how it goes in my head.
Carnival music.
I'm not going to be the next DT.
Sambo de Janeiro.
Oh, hang on, what's that? That one, that's a bit... It's from Austin Powers, isn't it? That one.
Oh, you know, okay. One.
That's it.
Lovely.
You do something like that.
Well, you've just done it, so we'll keep that in.
Excellent.
That was our intro to Brazil, obviously. Surely, exactly. Which is always the best place to end the season, isn't it? Brazil or Japan? They're the two places where you end the season, really, aren't they?
Things seem to happen in Brazil. You know, just crazy stuff happens in Brazil. I don't know if it's the weather or what. Yeah, I don't know. It's a perfect place to end the season.
Well, if you get rain this year,
what about if you get rain on only half the track?
Oh,
because it does have its own little weather system there. You know,
it's like Silverstone, in that way.
Exactly right. You just never know. You never know.
Fantastic.
That, it'll probably be beautifully dry and grippy throughout, and we'll be thoroughly bored. But no. We love Brazil.
And the forecast is for a bit of rain.
Yeah.
So. Well, and that's coming straight from the Oracle.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yeah. That's the way to do it.
My toe is tingling. It must mean it's going to rain in Brazil.
And as we said, they had to have a Brazilian driver booked, I suppose. It'll be quite an emotional day, I suppose, for Felipe leaving Ferrari and back at his home race. Although not as emotional as it would have been had he been leaving, I suppose. Just a little bit emotional.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Hopefully he wears his, a few years ago, wore like a Brazilian race suit, which I thought was quite cool.
Awesome.
So hopefully, yeah, it goes to that again.
Oh, reckon I'll have a special helmet for it.
Yes. Well, that's fine, as long as it's not like, you know, I don't know, Katy Perry or someone on it. Queen of Pop. Most important weekend for?
Mansell's moustache. No, higher.
It's still November, isn't it? It's still just about
November, yeah. Who is it the most important week for? Anyone who hasn't got a drive. Anyone who hasn't got a drive next year. So I'm looking at Pastor Maldonado. I'm looking at Sergio Perez. I'm looking at Heikki Kovalainen. People who are proven ability on the track, but haven't got anywhere to ply their trade next year. As we discussed previously, I think both Kyle and I would not shed a tear if Pastor didn't make it back onto the grid next year. But, you know, there are some good drivers out there that are looking at risk of not having a seat, and I think they really need to put on a show.
I'll probably get Mark Webber, in a way.
The last race.
This is his last race. And it'd just be good if he went out with a decent race, not David Coulthard style, crashing out in the first corner a few years ago. If he just had a decent race, I mean, win might be a bit out of reach, but yeah, just a good race to round off a career. Yeah, the Mark Webber. That's a bit hard, but he's most important because I think most of the team are looking forward to the end of the season. So,
well, there is really only one answer to this question this week, and that is, of course, Caterham.
Oh,
because
sorry, yeah.
They have to. Oh, no, I take both your points, very good points, but Caterham have to beat Marussia and finish 13th. I think there is absolutely no chance of that happening, but then you probably would have said that last year. And Petrov finished 11th. No, Charles Peak, wasn't it? Finished 11th. No, Charles Peak got overtaken by Vitaly Petrov, who then finished 11th and booked them 10th in the championship.
Bring him back to the race.
Millions and millions and millions of pounds that Caterham have had each year for finishing 10th, they won't get. They don't manage it this year. A lot at stake. Maybe if they don't manage it, Charles Peak will still have a drive next year. They might have to stick with him. Predictions then. America, here we go. Ped, you said...
I believe I was horrific.
Well, no, actually, we were all pretty ropey.
Yeah.
I was average. I have a defined average. You said Mercedes pole, Mercedes podium. Just missed out on both of those, really. Red Bull win.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Alonso P4. Narrow, but missed out.
Close.
I said Hamilton would win, which didn't happen. Grosjean on the podium, which did. And I said Q1 exits for Gutierrez, which was a shame. You outdid me there. And Paul de Resta top eight, who was nowhere near that. So not much success there. Kyle, you said Webber wouldn't finish, I think in a bid to see that he would win the race. Sadly, he only finished on the podium. Q1 exits for Jean-Éric Vergne and Maldonado. I think Maldonado was right, so I gave you half a point for that one. And two Mercedes on the podium.
That was ambitious.
No, it was ambitious. Basically, it means going into the final race, Ped is clear and out front.
Is it unassailable?
I don't necessarily think it's unassailable. It's a difficult one. I would imagine it is probably.
So I'm more Lewis Hamilton than Sebastian Vettel
right
now.
Yeah, I would say so.
Cracking surnames, by the way, Hamilton. Just throwing it out.
Oh, there we go. I am still second, DT third, and Kyle, you're fourth.
Kyle, what are you playing at? You've been at more podcasts than DT has been this second half of the season.
I was looking at this.
I mean, come on, Kyle. Up your game.
I was looking at this. Kyle won last year on a percentage of 39 correct scores. DT was second with 36. I was fourth under 30, and Ped, you were fifth with 20%. This year on percentages, Ped, you're leading, but only on a 30% success rate. So in truth, it's been a dog of a season.
I think you have adjusted the algorithm
there
slightly.
There is a new algorithm, which does take into account times predicted.
Right.
Because
it's understandable that we're going to see a downturn in the numbers.
Otherwise, John Luton would be ahead of you, Kyle, on the basis of just one prediction. And that just didn't seem fair because Kyle's been in and out. It does mean I'm ahead of DT in second purely on regular occurrence.
Can I just say
he has a better percentage than me?
Just under a third of my predictions are correct.
Yeah.
If I was a betting man, I could have made some solid money on that.
You could have done.
Right? Just under a third.
I don't know what odds you'd have got on Red Bull win.
That's nothing
to
be sniffed at, Michael. Nothing to be sniffed at.
Well, DT, probably sensing we're getting to the end of the season, has been in touch with predictions.
DT! Coming out of the woodwork.
Pole Vettel, P1 Vettel.
Easy breezy, right?
Podium. He's completed the podium with Grosjean and Hamilton.
Bold.
Said Massa top six, which I love.
Huge.
Bottas top 10, which is probably not a bad shout given what happened last, and Hülkenberg top 5. So nothing crazy out of that lot, but he's all about the points now, I reckon.
He's trying to win.
Which leaves you two gents then. Who wants to go first?
Kyle?
Okay.
you need to up your game here, son. Let's make it happen.
Oh, banter.
I'll start with qualifying. My Q1 out predictions. Maldonado was dark. And
they'll sabotage the tires.
They'll drill holes in his suspension bars and they'll break his gearbox seal or whatever. They'll do all kinds of things. Put sand in his seat, make it really uncomfortable for him.
I was going to go one this weekend because I'm going to go for Massa to out qualify Alonso. It's home race. I celebrate the Grosjean loving we have at the moment. I'll say he's podium for him. I'm going to go.
You're just trying to curry favour with Michael now.
That's what we might change the rules.
Listen to him.
Struggling, really. I'll go Hamilton podium as well. I'll go Hülkenberg top six.
Okay.
Do a few qualies. Red Bull lockout on the front row, but then a Mercedes second row. So all Red Bull front 1-2, and then all Mercedes 3-4. So that's my quali prediction.
I love it the way around.
I wouldn't.
All right.
For the race, Vettel win. But I might not. I won't take that as an official prediction because I think that's too easy. So I'm just. I'm not going to predict a winner.
Okay.
But I am going to go. Kyle will like this. I'm going to go Jenson Button top 10. Jenson loves this track. He's very good round there. What else is there to do? Just go out there and thrash it. I think it'll be good, and especially if there is a little bit of rain, I think we could see Jensen enjoying himself for once. It'd be lovely. He sounded so despondent and so downhearted. I'm just saying, you know, the last weekend he sounded rubbish. But Jensen, top 10 this week.
Okay.
And three different cars on the podium. So there's not going to be a 1-2, and you're not going to have double ups. It's going to be three different manufacturers are going to be on the podium.
Three different constructors on the podium. Okay.
That's going to be my prediction.
I like those. I like those a lot. Leaves me then, doesn't it? I think Sergio Perez will out-finish Jenson Button.
As long as Jenson's in the top 10, I don't care what.
I think Hülkenberg, I agree that Hülkenberg, I think he'll finish top 5. I think Caterham will not finish 10th in the Constructors' Championship. Which is, you know, whatever.
Well, they finish 9th. They have, like, a fantastic race.
Well, yeah, yeah. Yeah, obviously, that's what I was saying. And I think Mark Webber's going to win it.
Hey.
Come on, Mark.
Win one for the Webber.
Come on, Mark. Now, I do also think at the same time, my head says he'll probably bottle it because it'll be his last race and it'll go horribly wrong. But I want to predict him to win it. And I just have.
Can we start an EDP hashtag, Let's Go Webber? Can that be our hashtag for the race, for the whole weekend?
Lotus style. Yeah. Let's Go Webber.
Yeah, Let's Go Webber.
Let's Go Webber. Hashtag Let's Go Webber. Don't worry about the grammar. Yes. Just, you know, because it'll break up the hashtag. Twitter rules, not mine.
No,
grammar. It's important.
Thing. Let's Go Webber. And if you see that trending, you know that's EDP. That's all EDP.
Love it. Right then. Well, we're here then. The final race this weekend. It's going to be exciting. It does honestly feel like the season has absolutely flown by. I must admit, it just seems to have disappeared.
Yeah, very quick.
So, all the usual places you can get hold of us, edp24.co.uk/F1 for Lotus and Caterham News, my weekly EDP column and links to this very podcast, social media at edpf1 on Twitter and facebook.com/edpf1 is there and thereabouts. You can get all of us on Twitter. I'm Michael J. Bailey. Ped?
At PedHD56.
Kyle?
At KCumbers.
So chat to all of us as the weekend progresses, one which we are very much looking forward to. The other side of it, we'll have our review of what takes place at Interlagos. And then the week after that, hopefully, if not slightly after, we'll do a season review pod, which I think went down quite well last year. We'll have to go back to the pub, see if we can get some scampi fries going. In the meantime, gents, thank you so much for your time. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the final race of the 2013 season. And we'll see you on the other side of it. Goodbye.